Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. While this was covered on last week's show, this is something so important to me, I want to discuss it too. Dr. Jerry Kobulski, Director of Institutional Effectiveness, provided an update on a military academy's ongoing internal assessments to include the Honor Code and other things. The Honor Code says a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. That's how it was when I was a cadet 60 years ago, and we lived it every day, no exceptions, period. Today's West Point Superintendent, Lieutenant General Gilland, added that they were considering simplifying the mission statement so that people could better understand what the Academy does, including they want to review the Honor Code to make it more aspirational in nature. So the definition of the word to aspire or aspirational, to seek to attain or accomplish a particular goal, to direct one's hopes or ambitions towards achieving something, to long, aim, or seek ambitiously to be eagerly desirous, especially for something greater of high value. So the superintendent is saying adherence to the West Point Honor Code is something that cadets can no longer achieve, but can only hope to try to achieve? A cadet can very much hope and desire and strive for the high value of not lying, cheating, or stealing, but this lofty goal may be too hard to reach? Huh? A West Point grad said that aspirational honor is code for the fact that the Pentagon, the Army, and the Academy find the Honor Code slogan inconvenient, not an ethical or moral imperative. The lack of honor is apparent, but not acceptable. Okay, joining me at 50 caliber microphone today is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Skip, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for doing last week's show. It was great.
Hey, not a problem. We had a really good time, you know, me and my wife and Cedar. And, you know, it's just amazing the team that we have here at Frontlines of Freedom, because it's not just the people at the microphone that are doing all the work, but there's our editors and producers and Josh and Roland. I mean, just everybody. There's like, what, 10 people that make this show happen and make it go so smoothly.
That's very true, and we're blessed. I don't know any way to put it. Here's what we have for you today on News and Comments by the Colonel. I'm going to discuss the recent retirement of General Mark Milley, who is Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the highest-ranking military officer in the nation. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then retired Air Force General John Tykert will discuss Israel and a few of our nation's other huge problems and talk about his desire to serve again. Next, former Marine combat vet Ryan Purchase will discuss combat. Football co-host Quentin Roberts will present last weekend's Service Academy football games. And Marine vets Gil and Skip will discuss our border and book.
Hey, troops. Please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or do it on Facebook. Well, now it's time for News and Comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll, of course, start with the news. Skip, we can't not start with Israel. We have to go there, don't we?
Yeah, we certainly do. I mean, Israel has always been, well, kind of a wild card. I mean, they're there. They're always there. That's the one place in the world where it can blow up at any time and start World War III.
You know, that's true. It's the only democracy of any kind in the Middle East, probably our most reliable ally in the world and have been forever. Yet they live in a situation where every day when you go to get up or go to bed or whatever, you can be bombarded, attacked at any kind of way. But that's never happened to this extent, at least not since they declared and fought for their independence. I mean, this is outrageous. And their goal clearly is to kill and maim and destroy people, and they're doing it.
And innocent civilians is what they're targeting. And I listened to some of the news and some of our far left leaning, you know, representatives and senators, and they'll say things like Israel is an apartheid state and the Palestinians are freedom fighters. And I'm just not seeing it that way, Colonel.
Well, I've been to Israel. It's not that way. As a matter of fact, if you were a Muslim and you wanted to live in the Middle East, someplace where your wife and your daughters could live free, complete lives, the only place you could live is Israel, because that's the only place that Muslims and Muslim women are free to live the kind of life they want to live. And yet these terrorists want to kill every Jew. That's their whole purpose, kill Jews. Anyway, my bottom line on this is, go Israel. I truly hope our nation is 100% behind them. Okay, take it on from there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, an alleged member of a secret Iranian government influence network visited the Biden White House at least 5 times for high-level meetings with senior U.S. officials, according to visitor logs. Ali Vaiz, an Iran analyst with the International Crisis Group, was recently outed as an alleged member of a vast Iranian government-controlled propaganda network that helped push Tehran's talking points in D.C. and influence policy. Vaiz communicated with senior Iranian government associates as part of the Iran Experts Initiative, an influence cooperation run by Iran's foreign ministry. The meetings raised questions about whether the Biden administration was aware of Vaiz's alleged participation in the Iranian operation and may have given him insider information about our diplomacy with Tehran. Another alleged member, Arian Tabatabai, is a senior Pentagon official and holds a security clearance, prompting lawmakers to demand their clearance be revoked. Vaiz is a close associate of U.S.-Iran envoy Robert Malley, who was removed from his post earlier this year and stripped of his security clearance amid an investigation into his alleged mishandling of classified information.
Iran is the true enemy of our nation and, frankly, of anybody that they don't like. They're obviously into the murdering of Jews. This slackness in preventing them from accessing information to our nation is totally unacceptable. How can we allow this to happen? This is nonsense.
And Democratic New York Governor Kathy Hochul recently called for more border protections, calling out Republicans in Congress as soft on immigration. "Shame on the Republicans in Congress," she said on CBS. Quote, "We want them to have a limit on who can come across the border. It is too open right now. People coming from all over the world are finding their way through, simply saying they need asylum, and the majority of them seem to be ending up in the streets of New York," unquote. Democrats have attempted to blame the exploding crisis at our southern border on Republicans. Last month, President Biden accused MAGA Republicans of spending 4 years gutting the immigration system under my predecessor. They continue to undermine our border security today.
You know, it's very clear that our nation has a huge crisis with millions of illegal aliens coming across the border. These people meet no standards for health. They don't speak our language. Many bring in drugs. Some are terrorists. Many are military-aged males from communist China. Prior to Mr. Biden taking office, we had a quite secure southern border. Texas had been building fences, and our federal border patrolmen are now tearing them down. The border crisis is horrible for our nation, and it's totally because the open border was intentionally created by Mr. Biden and his supporters. We need to end it now. I'm glad to see many Democratic leaders want to end it, too.
And the Pentagon said our military shot down an armed Turkish drone that came within 500 meters of American troops in northeastern Syria in a rare use of force by one NATO member against another. Both Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and the new Joint Chiefs Chairman, General C.Q. Brown, spoke with their Turkish counterparts quickly after the incident to emphasize the value they place on their relationship with Turkey, but also the need to avoid any similar incidents in the future and ensure the safety of our personnel. The spokesman said that, quote, "We have no indication that Turkey was intentionally targeting our forces," unquote. Our official said the shootdown was ordered after over a dozen calls to Turkish military officials stating that our forces were on the ground in the area and that we would take action to protect them if the drone didn't leave. "We observed Turkish drones doing airstrikes around Hasake at about 7:30 a.m. local time, and some strikes were inside a so-called American restricted operating zone, about a half mile from our troops. A bit later, a Turkish drone re-entered the restricted area on a heading toward where our forces were located. Commanders determined it was a threat, and our F-16 jets shot it down. No U.S. forces were injured."
Turkey is indeed a NATO member, but they are also very friendly with some Muslim terrorist groups. I'm not sure why they haven't been run out of NATO.
And scores of military veterans, service academy graduates, and families are scrambling to find hotel rooms for the big Army-Navy game at Gillette Stadium near Boston this December, because their reservations were canceled to make way for migrant families. A travel agent said at least 70 of his rooms at three hotels were taken back by the hotel management company because the state recently contracted to put newly arrived migrants there. One travel agent said he had enough rooms to cover some of the people. Others are looking around, but pricing is very high. For many, the issue is safety. They are questioning the safety of remaining hotels located near those that are now filled with migrants. Most hotels are scrambling to come up with safety protocols. A spokesman for a company that operates a Comfort Inn and several other hotels near Gillette confirmed they are providing housing for refugees who recently arrived.
This is nuts. My family goes to the Army and Navy game every year. And so far, our hotel reservations are still good. Wish me luck. I do wonder why they clear hotels for illegal immigrants and not for homeless American veterans. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. I encourage you, go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some war and wisdom. Then we'll talk with retired Air Force General John Dragon Tykert. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Look like sheep and you'll be eaten by wolves. According to interviews done with armed robbers, you are far more likely to be targeted by criminals if you look weak and helpless. Carry yourself with pride and military bearing, because many criminals can spot a soft target with one glance. Stay alert and aware of your surroundings. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Frontlines of Freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. 2 weeks ago, as Army General Mark Milley left the office of Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he went out ranting about his loyalty to the Constitution and not to a dictator, blasting Trump without mentioning Trump's name. This is a departure of the most politicized and weaponized four-star Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff since the office was created. I would have hoped that Milley would at least explain his huge failures. For example, the 2021 historically disastrous flight from Kabul and defeat in Afghanistan, the people we abandoned and the billions of dollars worth of vehicles, weapons, and state-of-the-art equipment that we left behind. That was without a doubt the most incompetent, disastrous abandonment our nation has ever been guilty of, and for no valid reason. His excuse that he was just obeying orders or something like that, it's a parallel to what the Nazi Gestapo said when charged with murdering the Jews during World War II. And we didn't accept that excuse then. Why would we now? He should have been compelled by his integrity and sense of duty to demand that we not abandon people and things as we did. And then if that didn't work, he should have resigned. But he didn't. And he apparently influenced other senior generals and admirals to just obey orders too. And have any of these integrity-less senior officers ever explained or apologized? You know the answer. No, none has. As we've discussed before on this show, our military is really hurting for recruits. Historically, a large percentage of recruits come from families of veterans. Veteran parents and grandparents encourage their youngsters to serve, as they did. But that's not true now. Why? Because the veterans can see the horrible leadership in our military today. Why would anyone recommend that their child serve in a disastrous military? The disregard for our president, the horrible fleeing abandonment from Afghanistan, and the woke racist culture being forced on our troops is more than enough to not recommend joining. Indeed, I tutor a number of youngsters who are interested in our military. I tell all of them that I do not recommend joining the military today, maybe in a couple of years when we have some real functional leaders. I tell them, unless you feel God's telling you to join now, I wouldn't. I do support them regardless of their decision. Then there's the radical implementation of woke agendas into the Pentagon retention and promotion policies, or why Milley felt the illustrious and renowned Professor Kendi of the current Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research, infamy, should be required reading for our military at a time when recruitment is descending into historical lows and its deterrent reputation is seriously questioned. Our military academies, for example, all now teach some version of critical race theory that all cadets must take. Hey, it's even a minor at West Point. And the senior brass at the academies usually deny that this is true, another integrity issue. And the meetings of the academies to discuss diversity and inclusion are not inclusive, and that they do not include anyone who doesn't think that diversity and inclusion are worthy topics for the cadets and midshipmen. In my years serving with troops, all of my units were multiracial, leaders were of all races, and racial incidents were rare. We didn't discuss how much we should not trust people of other races or how much people of another race owed us. And those units were truly combat ready. Indeed, I led two of them into combat. So what about Milley's own constitutional legacy? Is it that an officer who deems his president and commander-in-chief is dangerous, as diagnosed by four-star psychiatrist, diplomat, and theater commander Milley, has a right to commandeer the chain of command, usurp powers that are expressly by law denied to him, and then take it on himself in a time of Chinese-American tensions to freelance by contacting his communist counterpart to warn him about his own president's diagnosed volatility and to reassure the hardened Stalinist that Dr. General Milley will inform him first of any predicate action from the White House? In my not very humble opinion, Milley should have been court-martialed and jailed. Americans might ask the departing Milley two questions. One, if Trump is reelected in 2024, will a retired General Milley, as did his four-star colleagues in 2020, violate the Uniform Code of Military Justice and repeat his current charges against a second-term President Trump, matching the previous invective of his colleagues' accusation of liar or Mussolini? And two, what would Milley have done had a subordinate like himself, say a three-star general, decided that General Milley's Beijing gambit and his arrogation of command powers were not legally his own, posed a great threat to the Republic? And thus, would such a three-star call up theater commanders and warn them to resist Milley's reckless orders and to report to him first, followed by his phone call to a top Chinese general to assure them that if Milley somehow gave an order deemed by the three-star to be dangerously provocative, then he would not only not obey, but rather first warn the Chinese military of Milley's unstable state of mind? Is that the kind of military Milley wishes to leave as his legacy as he departs barking accusations at the moon? We need to be sure that when we next vote for a president, we elect someone who will appoint people in the Pentagon who will have the integrity to stand up for what's right and leave if they disagree. You may remember that President Trump had a couple of senior people leave because they disagreed with him. The current senior military leaders, like Milley, lack integrity and need to go. We need a president who will demand integrity. We can't send our youngsters who are in our military into combat under leaders who don't have the moral integrity to lead. Our military is a mess. Milley's gone, but his replacement was one of Milley's deputies who did to our Air Force what Milley was doing to the rest of the military. Maybe in his new position, the new guy will show some integrity. I sure hope so. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, when Hamas opened its surprise attack on Israel last weekend, it unleashed over 200 rockets and missiles on Israeli cities. By mid-morning on Saturday, Hamas had fired a total of 2,500 projectiles, which overwhelmed the Israeli Iron Dome air defense system. At the same time, Hamas launched a bunch of armed drones that dropped explosives on Israeli tanks and troops, and fighters breached the fortified border on foot. Some even landed on Israeli beaches in small boats, and others even dropped from the air in paragliders. But one question that's come up is, how did Israel fail to prevent Hamas from getting such a large stockpile of weapons, especially the advanced weapons? According to numerous independent analysis and regional experts, Iran has been providing Hamas with millions of dollars in funding, weapons, and missile training. Iran itself has even acknowledged the key role that they have played in leading the anti-Israeli campaign in the Muslim world. They have even said that Hamas engineers have been armed and trained by Iran, with some even going to Iran for training. Initially, Iran instructed Hamas engineers in making rockets from common materials like pipes, fertilizer, and sugar. This allowed Hamas to begin domestic production of short-range rockets. Later, Iran began smuggling the components of its own home-manufactured ballistic missiles with ranges of 27 to 47 miles onboard ships with cargo that was bound for European ports on the Mediterranean. They were offloaded at places like the Port of Sudan and then smuggled overland through Egypt all the way to Gaza. There, Hamas engineers, who were trained by Iran, reassembled the parts into operable missiles. You know, Iran has denied any involvement in the Hamas attack on Israel. However, it's obvious that Iran's support has advanced the ability of Hamas to produce missiles with improved accuracy, longer range, and much more deadly warheads. Israel has estimated that Hamas has amassed likely more than 15,000 rockets and missiles in its arsenal. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss our nation's challenges with Air Force General John Dragon Tykert. Then we'll talk with Marine combat veteran Ryan Purchase. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Box three rounds, take a break, box another three, then stand at ease.
America's veterans sacrificed in service to this country. They deserve quality medical care after taking off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America was instrumental in expanding access to needed care to millions of veterans by getting the VA Mission Act passed. But that fight continues until all veterans can get the care they need.
You can help empower veterans with better health care options. Visit CVAFrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to Veteran Veterans Programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show retired Air Force General John Dragon Tykert. John really cares about our nation and has made a major change in his life. And yet, Dragon is his radio call sign in the Air Force, not his middle name. Welcome back to the show, John. Thanks for joining us.
Danny, I had a blast the last time we chatted, and thanks for having me on again.
Okay, John, just for those who don't remember, start by telling us about your time in the Air Force. Why did you join? Why did you want to fly? What did you do?
Danny, it goes way back, actually, to growing up in a family that loved our country and then watching Top Gun as a middle schooler and deciding that that's what I wanted to do with my life. But ultimately, my life has revolved around that oath that I took as a 17-year-old in Cambridge, Massachusetts, when I started ROTC at MIT to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And for the last 33 years, I have been diligent in my pursuit of that oath. And frankly, that's what brings me to this change in my current disposition and my pursuits today.
Yes, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in leadership in our nation that don't remember that oath. Isn't that true?
Well, it just breaks my heart. That is such a powerful guidepost for a life that is well lived to a higher purpose. And to me, I happen to be able to take it alongside of another 17-year-old who's now been my wife for 25 years. My oldest daughter has taken that oath in ROTC and wants to be a fighter pilot like her dad. And my other two kids are set to take that oath as well in pursuit of a career in the FBI and a career potentially in the Air Force or the Navy. But to me, it is just such an important milestone in my life and it has guided my life since that point.
Well, I certainly understand that, and I could not agree with you more. We want those values, and we want to role model them, and it's an honor when we see our family and friends following in that too. That's awesome.
Well, it is, and you just think about the power of those principles, right? We swear an oath to those principles that have guided this country so brilliantly for these several years and decades and centuries. And again, that is a life worth living, is following those principles and pursuing them in the best way possible.
It is. And our nation really seems to be drifting in the wrong direction. And that's manifested in a lot of people in leadership today. So I'm delighted that you and I share that value and that you're doing your best to share it with the rest of the world. To change the subject, it's sort of hard not to be thinking about what's going on in Israel right now. That's certainly something that affects our nation diplomatically, militarily, affects the world. And the attitudes manifested by Hamas in doing this certainly show exactly the opposite value set that you and I were just talking about. Do you agree?
No, I do agree. And the best way that I've heard it described is in the heartbreaking fashion that is like their 9/11. If you consider the extent of the impact on their society, on their psyche, on the ruthless terrorist acts of Hamas, that it is very similar to 9/11 or is similar for them. And absolutely, it's indicative of our need as a country to step up and to provide the support that Israel is due, because in so many ways, their values and their principles align with ours.
I agree with you. I have said many times that Israel is clearly the only democracy in the Middle East. And two, it is probably our most reliable ally in the world. So if we don't stand with them, there's something truly wrong with us.
No, that's exactly right. And I actually reached out to two very good friends who are senior fighter pilots in the Israeli Defense Forces over the weekend. And it's just heartbreaking to hear their stories of personal loss. And I think a lot of Israelis share their sentiments that not only is it heartbreaking in general, but they've experienced personal loss as a result of that brutal attack on Saturday morning.
Indeed. And the challenge then is, what do we Americans, what does the United States of America do? We've got the sort of commitment that we're making or have made to Ukraine. Our military is not as strong as it should be. What's your opinion, given where we are now? I mean, you know, obviously, a month from now, we can look back and be Monday morning quarterbacks. But what's your opinion of what should be the position of the United States towards this?
Denny, let me rewind a little bit. And this, in large part, started because our weakness invites attacks, or our appeasement provokes aggression. And if we just look back a few weeks at our willingness to give Iran that $6 billion for a trade that was not equitable at all, not only does that give them $6 billion of fungible assets to use ultimately as they see fit, but it ultimately demonstrates our desperation to deal with Iran. And ultimately, that desperation provokes Iran into believing that they can take bold steps and that we're not going to act against them. And so we need to reflect upon the weakness that we demonstrate, especially in the last 2 years under the Biden administration, and how that is emboldening those adversaries that exist around the world. That happened in Ukraine based on our pullout of Afghanistan, and it's happening here. Now, specifically, what do we need to do going forward? I think it is wise that we are positioning a carrier strike group in the Eastern Mediterranean, in part to deter further action by Iran or those that Iran supports, like Hezbollah, and also to ultimately evacuate American citizens that may come under fire or threat that are in Israel. And I think that is a wise first step. But again, looking back, this never would have happened, I firmly believe, if we would have shown strength and not weakness to Iran and others on the world stage.
John, I could not agree with you more. When we look and act weak, that's a green light for the people like Iran, like Russia and China, that hate us, to go get aggressive. And almost throughout history, they've done that. That's almost how it all starts, isn't it?
It is, Denny. And the last time you and I talked, we talked a little bit about my time in Iraq. I was deployed there, as a reminder to your listeners, for 14 months as the senior defense official from our nation from May of 2020 to July of 2021. And it was extremely apparent to me during the change of administration from Trump to Biden that Iran was salivating at the thought of a weaker America. Those countries like Iran, they only know one thing. They understand strength and they understand resolve that comes with strength. And anytime we show the opposite of that, then it invites them towards aggression. And I believe that's what we saw here in Israel over the weekend.
Well said, sir. It's pretty much clear. I mean, even when President Trump went to NATO and confronted them about countries like Germany not paying their fair share into self-defense, they started doing it because they got confronted. And if our allies will respond like that, certainly our enemies will. We just have to stand up for what's right. And when we do, it usually works.
No, it does. I mean, a big part of the international environment that we're in is about how we can best deter activity that we don't want to take place from our adversaries. How do we stop them from doing the things that they really want to do? And essentially, it comes down to the perception in their mind about our capability and our will. And if we have neither capability nor will, or if we're lacking one of those things, then we're not going to be able to stop the bad guys from doing the things that they really want to do. And that applies to China, that applies to Russia, that applies to Iran, that applies to North Korea. We've got to be strong again, or the world gets much more dangerous very quickly.
Indeed. And now we're in a very awkward situation because there's a lot of things we could do, should do, and maybe aren't strong enough to do, can't afford to do. These past 2.5, 3 years of weakness certainly restrict what we can do now, doesn't it?
It does. And Denny, there's also this dysfunction in government that is playing a role in the aggression of our adversaries. Just last week, we recognized that while we didn't shut down the government, we're now living under another continuing resolution, which means the military was not funded from the beginning of the fiscal year. And that's been the case for 13 of the last 14 years, where we've limped along on continuing resolutions and government shutdowns. And there's this remaining ticking time bomb of a budget crisis that's going to crop back up around Thanksgiving when the continuing resolution runs out. And we consider that appeasement of the $6 billion that we relinquished control of back to Iran, or the Biden administration's desperation to return to the nuclear deal. And all of it has been initiated because of politics. And what we ultimately need in government is not politicians. They got us into this mess. We need leaders and we need leadership. And that's what I intend to bring as a senator from the state of Maryland.
John, you hit the nail right on the head there. And you talked about politics. I taught political science for 15 years at college. And I said, politics. Poly means many. Ticks are blood-sucking insects. Our job is to make sure we don't elect any ticks. And that was a semester's worth. And we're in a horrible state because of that. And we need to do exactly what you just said. Elect people with values that will stand by their values and go forward. That's a huge issue. I don't know of any better solution. And I don't know what's going to solve our issues right now beyond being in prayer and doing the best we can. I'm not sure who I trust in leadership to do anything right now.
No, so Denny, I like that definition of politics and bloodsuckers, but I do believe that there are some great Americans, especially the Americans that listen to your show, that understand what leadership and principled leadership is all about. Harkening back to those principles that we talked about in the beginning of this conversation and supporting and defending those and living a life that leads people back to the vision that's provided by that incredible document that we swore an oath to. And that's the way out of the mess that we're currently in.
I believe you're right. There's more to discuss about Israel and some other goofy things going on, and John's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's money I do. Well, I did twice this week. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
We'll be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll continue our conversation with retired Air Force Brigadier General John Tykert. John, we've talked about Israel, and I think we see eye to eye that it's a challenge that we've got to make sure this never happens again, but we've got to deal with it. There are some other goofy things going on in our nation today, and I think the southern border is beyond horrible. I think everybody's starting to see it. What was the good reason for letting this start in the first place? I haven't heard anybody explain to me why letting millions of people who don't speak our language, don't know our culture, don't bring anything into the nation, could be bringing drugs or disease or whatever. What was the good deal? Why did we start that in the first place? Do you have any idea?
Denny, I can't explain how we got here, but I certainly see where we are right now as a multifaceted crisis. Let me start with the national security implications here. Until we can secure our southern border, then we've got to expect that terrorists like those from Hamas are flowing across our border. And that is a national security threat. I know because I've seen it firsthand, and I understand the implications of it as a retired general in the Air Force. And we have to secure the border against those national security threats. There's also hardened criminals that are flowing across that border at the same time. And that's a public safety threat. And then there's the public health threat. If we consider the fentanyl that was manufactured in part via help from China that is gushing through that porous southern border and that's killing our citizens throughout our United States. And it's a humanitarian crisis. And ultimately, the current administration, the Biden administration, has been so unclear about our policies that I can't even describe to you what our current policy is, but I know the first part of the solution, and that is finding a way ultimately through physical and technical means for securing the border. And that's the only way that we shut off this multifaceted crisis that stems from the Biden administration.
Well, yes, sir. We have to stop it. I mean, even if we could stop it, bing, right now, so many people and stuff have come across the border. We're going to be a decade or more just dealing with that. And yet, they're still coming. And our federal government thinks this is a good thing, or they wouldn't be doing it, right?
No, and to me, the heartbreaking piece of this, in addition to all of those elements of the crisis, is that our policy has been so unclear that it entices people from around the world, families and children and mothers, to make a very dangerous trek across gang-laden territory in Mexico. And now they find themselves at our border, and they don't know if they're going to be let in or not. And it belies the principles of our country to have a policy that is so unclear that it entices the dangerous journey of these families. You know, we're a nation of immigrants, but we need to be clear about our policy. We need to have reasonable requirements established once we secure the border to understand who we should let in and not based on the jobs we need filled here. But ultimately, this enticing of policy is just reckless by the Biden administration, and it creates all those crises that I described previously.
They do. We are a nation of law. We're a constitutional republic. That means we're not a nation of theory. We're a nation of law. We're supposed to obey the law. I know people who are attempting to get into the United States legally, and they're having enormous difficulty getting any communication at all. We're not a nation of law, at least not in that area. And that's horrible.
No, it is horrible. And again, we've got jobs that we likely could fill with legal immigrants here in the United States. And we need a policy that matches those requirements to the manpower, especially the best manpower that would love to come here and do so legally. And we need to be extremely clear about our policy in immigration reform. But going back to the beginning, Denny, we need to secure the border. Otherwise, all of it is for naught.
It truly, truly is. I agree with you there. Wow. John, we've got time for another quick issue. I'd like us to discuss briefly climate change or global warming or whatever we're calling it right now. I'm not a scientist, but I know science when I see it. There's no such thing as fixed science. And I'm 82. And in my lifetime, I haven't seen any permanent change to anything. It's gotten warmer. It's gotten colder. The ice has melted. It's gone back If you go back 150 or 200 years, the same thing's true. Do you see anything in the climate change thing that is a real crisis?
Denny, let me go to a trip that I took with my wife a couple of months ago. She turned 50 this year. She had been to 49 of the 50 states, and the 50th was North Dakota. And she wanted to go to North Dakota, her 50th state, for her 50th birthday. And so we took a great trip there, had a wonderful time, and really got to see a lot of the history in that location and got to talk about and learn about President Theodore Roosevelt. And I loved how he described himself, which was a practical conservationist. And there was a quote that he wrote there that was displayed in Medora, North Dakota, where we stayed, that said that conservation means development as much as it does protection. I grew up the son of a Park Service employee. I love the environment in which we live, and we need to be good stewards of it. But I find that the people that make the claims about policy needed to combat climate change don't spend a lot of time outside. Now, I do think that it's important that as we see differences take place in our environment, that we are good stewards of that environment. But I find that the people that take best care of the environment are the ones that spend a lot of time out in it. And often we're being lectured by academics that never spend any time outside.
Nicely said, John. Very well said. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with John Tykert. John, we've got a few minutes left. And I know that you decided to make a difference in your life by going back and serving us, serving our nation again. Take a couple of minutes now and talk to us about what you're running for and what you're standing for.
Denny, there was a trigger point in my life that happened 2 years ago. I've been a long-term mentor of the guy that's currently the commander of the Air Force Thunderbirds, the demonstration team for the Air Force. And I was watching his incoming change of command, and he pointed to the huge American flag behind him on the stage, and he said this: when that starts to falter, you do not walk away. You engage with everything you've got, and you fight to bring it back. And today I see that flag and those principles faltering and our citizens struggling and politicians squandering the American dream. And frankly, it was primarily that trigger point in watching that change of command that helped me understand that I needed to do everything I could to engage with everything I've got to fight to bring our nation back to where we belong. And it was essentially then, though confirmed when I made an announcement a week ago, that I was going to run for United States Senate out of Maryland, because our nation needs somebody to fight for it, to engage on behalf of our principles, and to wrestle our nation back to where we belong. And that's what I am going to do with the rest of my life, starting with this run for United States Senate out of Maryland.
John, I certainly believe that. And we need a lot of people in the Senate and the House that will do exactly that. And it's been my observation that while being a veteran doesn't make anybody perfect or anything else, but that people who are veterans very often better understand the defense of our country, our Constitution, and being a nation of laws. So I support you because you combine those things that I'm looking for. How can people support you?
No, so Denny, thanks for asking. Yeah, so I would encourage your listeners to go to tykertformaryland.com, all one word, tykertformaryland.com, to follow along in this journey of wrestling our nation back to where we belong. I would encourage them to support me by sharing my mission with your network. And then ultimately, please, as it turns out, campaigns are expensive. I would love to earn your donation, which you can also provide there on that site. But ultimately, I just want our veterans out there and others who are proud Americans to know that we've got a leader, not a politician, that's fighting for you.
And that's exactly what we need: leaders and people who understand leadership and who love our country and have proven the fact that they love our country and they're not just trying to make a name for themselves. John, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your decision to serve our nation yet again. I'm proud to call you a friend, and I'll be cheering for you. Thank you, brother.
Denny, thank you. And it is worth it to spend the rest of my life supporting and defending the Constitution of the United States.
God bless you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Marine combat vet Ryan Purchase. Then Quentin Roberts will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And Marines Gil and Skip will present Border and Books. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.